All right, Alexander, we have new polling out from Germany, I believe from Bild, actually, that ran this poll, which shows that if there were elections taking place now, AfD would be the number one party. It would win the elections with around 28% of the vote. CDU, CSU, Merz's coalition would be at around 24%. So these latest polling figures are going to freak out the globalist elite, no doubt about it. We also have BlackRock Merz making some interesting statements as he was giving speeches in Germany. He was traveling around Germany giving speeches, and Merz said that Iran is humiliating the United States. Trump is not going to be happy with those statements, but that's what Merz said. And then he talked about Project Ukraine and basically his view as to how to resolve Project Ukraine, which he has floated out in the past before, is that Ukraine agree to cede some territory. And in exchange, you could have a referendum in Ukraine. Zelensky could run a referendum and he could say, okay, we're going to lose some territory, but we're going to gain access to the European Union. And even there, Merz said, yeah, we'll help Ukraine enter the European Union, but it will not be quick. It's not going to be in 2027. It's going to be a long process, but at least this is something that we could sell to the Ukrainian people in a referendum, should we get to that point where there could be some sort of a resolution to Project Ukraine. Your thoughts on Merz, who's been very active the past couple of weeks.
I think before we turn to Merz, let's talk about the AfD and how it's doing, because what Merz is saying is largely a response to the rise and return and growth of the AfD. Now, I understand that this is the highest poll rating the AfD has so far achieved. It also needs to be understood that we have in September elections coming up in the state of Saxony-Anhalt. And there, the AfD is polling 40%. So it's looking very, very strong in some of the eastern regions. As we've discussed in recent programs, in Rheinland-Pfalz, in Baden-Württemberg, in the local regional elections that took place there, we can now start to see that the AfD is starting to break through in those places as well. These, of course, are part of the West German heartland. So the AfD continues to be extremely strong in Eastern Germany. In fact, the dominant party, I would say, in most of Eastern Germany now. And it is becoming a major presence and a major threat to the dominance, the historic dominance of the CDU on the right. Now, 28% is high. 24% for the CDU is disastrous. And we're talking about the party that has dominated German politics since the formation of the Bundesrepublik, the Federal Republic of Germany, following the end of the Second World War. I mean, this is a catastrophic plunge for a party which routinely, in national polls, polled above 40%. So, you know, we need to keep that history in context. But the real moment when the alarm bells are going to start ringing, when panic is going to start to take hold, is if the AfD breaks through the 30% barrier. It's very close now. If the AfD, in my opinion, starts to poll over 30%, having been either the most popular or one of the two most popular German parties for a very long time, then we can start to take seriously the possibility that it might win a German federal election and could emerge as the biggest party in the Bundestag. And not just the biggest party in the Bundestag, but a party which can claim that it has a right to be the first to attempt to form a government. So we are very close now to a political crisis, at least as far as the globalist, Europeanist, integrationist establishment, EU establishment in Germany is concerned. And we can see again that there's all sorts of steps being taken to try to prevent the AfD from rising. For the moment, at least, the idea of an outright ban seems to have been put off. I think the legal obstacles remain very great to that. And of course, doing so now, I think it's understood that it might actually cause major conflict with much of German society. But they're trying to do other things. So they're changing the rules on how state parliaments elect their speaker, basically in order to prevent the AfD from having an effective say in how speakers are chosen in regional parliaments, even in states where the AfD does well. So you're sensing an increasing crisis. And what Merz is trying to do, and he's trying to do it very badly because he has no real belief in this, what he's trying to do is he's trying to adapt to this relentless, seemingly unstoppable growth of the AfD by coming up with these statements. So the AfD has said that it wants all US bases in Germany closed. Many people assume that would be an unpopular policy that would lose the AfD support. In fact, many people saw it as a sovereigntist, nationalist policy, which perhaps gained the AfD support. So now Merz comes along, realizes that being seen as too close to the US is not such a good idea. So he comes out and says that Iran has humiliated the United States, which, as you rightly say, is going to infuriate Donald Trump. Merz understands also that confidence in Project Ukraine across the German nation is collapsing. So he's floating ideas again about a possible settlement, which involves ceding territory to Russia. That, of course, is unacceptable to Zelensky. By the way, the proposal, as Merz makes it, is unacceptable to the Russians as well. So it won't fly. He's coming up with all sorts of other ideas. He's also got Solder, the head of the Bavarian CSU, which is his sister party, to come up with an extraordinary proposal to reintroduce conscription, which is widely known to be something that Merz would personally quite like to do. But you see that he's trying to maneuver in response to the rise of the AfD. And I'm going to say something else here. I have never, in my long period of following German politics, known of a situation such as exists today, where the Chancellor of Germany is so much less popular domestically than he is abroad. And if you read the globalist newspapers, the Financial Times, for example, Merz is the great hero of the hour. He's pushing forward German rearmament. He's changing the whole direction of Germany's economic policy. He's got this great plan for German reindustrialization. Whereas in Germany itself, his support is collapsing.
None of these proposals from Merz, these ideas, I won't even call them proposals, these ideas from Merz have any real meaning or substance to them, right? I mean, no one takes them seriously. Merz talks about how Iran is now humiliating the United States, and no one expected Iran to fight so well and to engage in such good diplomacy. He said that, but it was Merz who supported Trump's attack on Iran. I mean, he went to the White House and he supported Trump and attacking Iran, and he supported regime change of Iran and all of that stuff. Yeah, he talks about Zelensky and ceding territory and freezing the conflict. Then you cede territory, then Zelensky can sell a referendum, which gets Ukraine into the EU. But it's Mertz that continues to escalate with Russia. Mertz is one of the main obstacles towards getting to some sort of a diplomatic solution in Project Ukraine. He demands further escalation. He demands European arming the European military and building up the German military for some sort of future conflict with Russia. He's the one that continuously talks about not engaging in talks with Russia or with Putin. So everything that he's saying is lies. I mean, I don't have any other word to explain. It's just all lies. And he's just doing this, as you said, to try and maybe steal some thunder from the AfD. But the German people are not going to believe these statements from BlackRock Mertz, are they? I think they see through Mertz in time.
You've answered the question. And by the way, every point that you're making is, in my opinion, both excellent and true. Mertz is coming up with these statements, which nobody believes he takes seriously himself. I mean, he's been the most pro-American chancellor since the time of Konrad Adenauer. And now suddenly he says that the United States is being humiliated in a war he did nothing to stop and did everything to encourage. And he says that nobody could have predicted this outcome. If he'd come and watched our programs, we would not have had any so much trouble. So just to say. So anyway, he's nobody really believes this. His talk about peace in Ukraine, nobody believes it either, because he's the single most obsessively anti-Russian German leader I have ever come across. I mean, people talk about Konrad Adenauer in the 50s, but Adenauer went to Moscow. He met with Khrushchev there. He was also a statesman of, well, I won't say genius, but at least of great stature. It's absurd. The point is, and this is the point actually you're making, he says all of these things, but in terms of his policies, he's changing nothing. He continues to focus on the Russians. He continues to demand escalation. He won't countenance any degree of economic détente with the Russians. He's not prepared to even consider the possibility of Germany importing gas and oil from Russia again. In fact, he's doing everything he possibly can to make that absolutely impossible by passing few laws to prevent it from happening in the future. His rhetoric on rearmament may play very well in the editorial pages of the Financial Times and some other Western media outlets of a certain perspective, but it is completely unpopular in Germany itself. People in Germany understand that BlackRock Mertz isn't actually going to deliver rearmament in any meaningful way. And they also worry that if by any possible chance he does, well, it's absolutely something they don't want to see and they don't like. So he comes up with these all these very strange, all these weird comments. And, you know, some of them are pretty weird. But ultimately, he's not prepared to change course. In fact, he keeps his foot firmly down on the accelerator as the cliff comes into view.
Mertz wants to weaken Germany so that his buddies can purchase everything on the cheap. Is that a correct statement?
I think that, yeah.
Exactly in a very simple way, that's yes. Just the sense that I get of him he wants to send Germany off the cliff so that all of his buddies then could just swoop in and just gobble up everything.
Yeah. I mean, what he privately thinks, I mean, it's very difficult to say. I mean, I get to say something. I mean, yeah, we were told before he became chancellor, before he became leader of the CDU, that he was this tremendous lawyer and economic and financial genius. I have to say that my own opinion of Mertz since he became chancellor is that he's not actually that bright. My own personal view. But, you know, he might somehow at some level actually believe that what he's doing is good for Germany. But what he thinks really is irrelevant, because what he is working to do and what all the forces around him are getting him to do is exactly what you said. I mean, Germany is being dismantled so that all of his friends and buddies can go in, grab whatever is there, walk away in the way that you would expect them to do, and make themselves an awful lot of money in the process.
You know, it reminds me of Russia in the 90s, in a way, in that all of the foreign countries, they were rushing into Russia in the 90s as Russia was collapsing, and they were buying everything on the cheap, right? And they were super happy about it. That's when they loved Russia. That's when Bill Clinton was hosting Yeltsin at the White House, and they were buddies and pals. Russia could do no wrong in the 90s because basically Russia was collapsing, and it was open to all of the foreign vultures to come in and to buy up everything and to take all of the resources and to pillage and plunder the country. That's what they wanted to happen with Russia in 2022 when Project Ukraine got started, and it didn't succeed. And now it seems that they've just accepted the fact that, you know what, if we can't do it to Russia, well, maybe we could just do it here at home, right? It sounds weird, but I was listening to what you're saying, and I'm just thinking it's what we couldn't do to Russia in the 90s and what we couldn't do to Russia in 2022, we might as well just keep it in-house.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you're absolutely right about something else also, because, of course, Yeltsin was turning up in the White House. He was being feted around the world as this great heroic leader. But, of course, in Russia itself, his popularity was imploding. And it's the same is happening, not quite at the same speed, but in something like the same way, to Mao's as well. So, yes, I think so. I mean, you know, understanding Mao's background, the fact that he was at BlackRock, I think explains an awful lot about his policies. And it also explains why it's deeply unpopular in Germany itself. The Germans sense what this is all about. They are very unhappy, and they don't like it. And they don't like it at all. And they have another party, the AfD, which is coming forward and proposing a program which actually is much more like the classical, traditional, conservative German programs, which the CDU used to be the champion of. I mean, I've said this many times. If you unpack some of the, you know, rhetoric, if you understand that the foreign policies, the global situation is now completely different, so that on foreign policy, the AfD takes a completely different line. But if you look at what the AfD basically stands for, it's not that far from what the CDU used to stand for at the time of the German miracle in the 50s.
Yeah. Just say. Yeah, if the AfD were to ever come to power, it should also exit the European Union as Germany.
Well,
that would be the path towards Germany saving itself in the next 10 to 20 years. If they don't do these moves, if the AfD doesn't come into power and they don't leave the European Union, then Germany's going to be sunk.
Well, indeed. Yeah. Can I say the time to change course is relatively short. Germany does still have great industrial depth, great engineering depth. But we've discussed in many programs going back to the Merkel years, the underlying problems within the German economy, which of course Merz is making far worse. The time for a turnaround is not huge. And if the AfD were to come to power at some point over the next 2 or 3 years, they would have to act very radically and very quickly to turn things around. And one of the most radical things they would need to do is that which you have just said. There is no cohabitation between an AfD government and the structures in Brussels. If they try to do that, they're doomed.
Yeah, just a final note. How can you make a quick turnaround with Brussels just hanging over your head?
Right? No, you can't. Yeah. You can't.
Trying to control all your moves.
You have
Even Mertz and Ursula don't get along. They have issues. Yeah, can you imagine Avdend and Ursula?
Absolutely. So, there would have to be that decision made. They would have to take steps immediately to restore Germany's currency, which, of course, Germany is in a position to do in ways that other EU Eurozone countries can't. But the Germans can do it. But they need to do it fast, because if they don't, then the whole thing will lose momentum and will go into reverse.
Yeah. All right, we'll end the video there, thedurant.looks.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to Durant Shop, pick up some merch, and also look for us on Substack as well. The link is in the description box down below. Take care.